Welcome to Maseches Yevamos, Perek Yud Mishnah Dalet, Chapter 10, Mishnah 4. The beginning of this Mishnah is not so complex, but the last part of the Mishnah is quite complex. And one of the only ways, I think, to understand this Mishnah is to take a paper and a pen and diagram it out. I'll try to go slowly. I'm not going to provide you with the diagram today, but you can listen to this recording when you have a paper and a pen, and you can write it out, and it's easier to understand. So the Mishnah begins. Mishalcha Ishtei L'Medinas Hayam, someone that's wife, went away to a faraway country. They came and they told him, Mesa Ishtecha, that your wife died. We're talking about a situation, two witnesses come in, and they say that your wife died. Okay. Vinasa Sachaisa. Now this fellow goes and he marries his dead wife's sister. During his lifetime, her lifetime, it's prohibited to marry. You know, I'll marry your wife's sister. But once a person's wife passes away, they're permitted to marry their sister. So that's what this fellow does. And then to his chagrin and horror, then his first wife comes back and comes out that he was married to his wife's sister in a prohibitive manner. It says the Mishnah, Muteres Lachsarla. He's permitted to go back to his original wife, and because the second marriage is nothing. It's a nos. It was just like a considered adultery. And the Gemara actually derives from a pasuk. The pasuk says in the parsha of Soiter, where we find out that if a person permits adultery, that their wife is permitted, is prohibited to them. The pasuk says, V'shochav ish oisa, that a man shall have intimacy with her, with a married woman. And the Gemara derives from there, Shchivatha Aitzrasa, that only if a person has relations, a person's wife commits adultery, Vein Shchivatha Chayisa Aitzrasa, but not the fact that his wife's sister commits adultery, that doesn't prohibit his wife there. So therefore she's permitted. Says the Mishnah, more than that. Humutu B'Krayva Yishniya, he is permitted in the relatives of his wife's sister. And says the Mishnah, Shnei Mutar Sbekrevav. Similarly, his wife's sister is permitted to marry his relatives, his son or something like that. Says the Mishnah, Vimreisa Rishayna. Let's say the first wife dies and now the prohibition to marry her sister goes off. Mutar Bishniya, he's allowed to marry his wife's sister, even though he already had prohibited relations with her. Now it's permitted for him to marry. Amrulai, if they said to him, Mesa Ishtecha, I told a person that his wife died, and he marries her sister, and then they told him, and when you married your wife's sister, your wife was still alive, but she passed away afterwards. Says the Mishnah, the first child that was born while his original wife was alive, mamzer, is an illegitimate child. But the child that was born after his wife passed away, that is permitted because it's a permissible child, because it's permissible for a person to marry his wife's sister after she passes away. Now here comes the complicated part of the Mishnah. Pay attention carefully. The Mishnah says like this, Rabbi Yossi says, Kol she poisla yidei acherim, poisla yidei atzmai. Anyone that can disqualify and invalidate through others also can disqualify and invalidate through himself. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains this case. The case is like this. There's two fellows. One fellow's name is Reuven, and one fellow's name is Moshe. And they're married to two sisters, Leah and Rachel. Reuven is married to Leah, the older sister, and Moshe is married to Rachel, the younger sister. Now, Leah and Moshe travel far away. Again, they're not married to one another. It's a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law. They travel. And now, two witnesses come in and tell Reuven that both of them passed away. That means to say that his wife passed away and his brother-in-law passed away. Okay, who's left? Him and his wife's sister. Vama v'nasa es Rachel. And he went now, and he married Rachel. Then afterwards, Leah and Moshe come along, and they marry, and they're alive. So we have a big problem, we have a big issue here. In this situation, Rabbi Yossi understood from the Tanakhama, from the first Mandarman of the Mishnah, that whether Leah was the wife of Reuven, or whether she was his Arusa, Arusa means they were just betrothed, there was no actual commencement of the marriage, and says the Mishnah, still he understood that Rachel would be usher to marry Moshe, her husband, since she married Reuven. Like a situation where a woman's husband goes to Medina Sayyam, that she can't be married to either if they show up. And Leah would be permitted to go back to Reuven, her husband, as we saw in this Mishnah itself, in the beginning of the Mishnah. Now Rabbi Yossi disagrees with this, and he holds that Leah and Rachel have the same halacha when it comes to going back to their husbands. However, there'll be a difference if Leah was an Arusa, was just betrothed, or was actually married. Why is that? If they were betrothed, if she was betrothed, then both of them are usher to marry their husbands. Why? So Gemara explains, because maybe people will say that Reuven had some kind of stipulation or condition when he married initially, and that was not fulfilled. And now it comes out that when Reuven marries his wife's sister Rachel, he did so legally. And people will say that that was because her husband Moshe divorced her. Therefore, she needs a get. So people shouldn't say that an Eish sister, a married woman, is able to just go out scot-free without a get. Now, since she becomes usher to her husband Moshe, so that people shouldn't say that you're marrying, you're going back to somebody that you divorced and then married someone in between, which is prohibited. And therefore, similarly, the same way that Reuven now disqualifies Rachel from marrying Moshe because of the get that was given, he disqualifies as well Leah, his betrothed one, on himself because of Achais Kushasa, because of the sister of somebody he was married to. However, if let's say Leah was the wife of Rumi, that we were actually married, there was a consummation of the marriage, so then there's no reason for anyone to say there was some kind of tenai or stipulation in the marriage. Everyone knows that Rachel is prohibited to Reuven because it's Achais Ishtai, it's his brother's, it's his sister's, his wife's sister. So, says the Mishnah, as long as his wife is alive and he didn't marry her, there's no kedushin. Comes out that Rachel won't need a get from Reuven in that situation. Therefore, she's permitted to go back to her husband Moshe. And the same way that Reuven does not disqualify Rachel on Moshe, her husband, so too he doesn't disqualify Leah, his wife, on himself. That's what Rabbi Yossi means. When Rabbi Yossi says, Kol Shepoisa De'achim, that means to say, if Reuven disqualifies because of others in a situation where Leah is betrothed to him, so therefore he also prohibits Rachel, his wife's sister, on Moshe, her husband. Then Paislai De'atzmai, the Mishnah meant to say, disqualifies for himself. Reuven also can't marry his own betrothed, Leah, on himself. However, Chol She'ine Paislai De'achim, says the Mishnah, in a situation where Leah was actually married to Reuven, then Reuven doesn't prohibit Rachel on her husband, since she doesn't need a get, so therefore, so too, she doesn't disqualify on himself, she doesn't prohibit Leah, his wife, on himself. Wishing you a fantastic day, also wishing you good luck trying to understand the second half of this Mishnah.